Good morning and welcome to the first ever Tuesday edition of the Down to Dunk podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Guys, today we're talking about Twitter questions. We're talking about some trades that have just gone down in the NBA. And we're going to try to fix a few franchises. Guys, welcome.
Hello.
I'm here with Taylor, Andrew, and Jay. I'm
Hey.
Luke.
It's been a while since I've been here.
All back together.
All back together.
Oh, man.
On a Tuesday.
The Anthem one was the last one I was here for, and so...
Yeah, that was a...
Whoa, really?
Which, it was the best one.
That was the best.
How's everybody doing?
Terrible. Okay.
Terrible.
Because we're not getting down to some Twitter questions. Let's do it.
Twitter questions!
Our first Twitter questions talk about the finals. And our first comes from @Shaky_Jake, who wants to know, do you think @KingJames, LeBron James, deserves the finals MVP even if the Cavs lose?
Thank you for clarifying who it was first.
Who?
That's how he asked. Who has done even half as much?
This is an exaggeration.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think if there's ever been a case for it, this is it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if it's not... I'd be very surprised, especially with the last game's fourth quarter, if it's not Steph Curry, just because that's who they want to give it to.
It'll be Curry.
But the Warriors' best player for the first four games of the series was Andre Iguodala. I think he lost that whenever he went 1-for-6 in the free throw line. But yeah. That was the most surprising moment of the final so far. But LeBron has been – I've never seen him, and I've said this – through a lot of text conversations, I've never seen him play the way he's playing right now. And he hasn't been wildly efficient. He was better last game. But the just competitive aspect of him is bigger than it's ever been. And this roster, I think that people downgrade this roster probably a little more than they should. Like, I think that, you know, people are like, this is the worst. They're worse than the Knicks. Like, they're not.
Now, well, just because they have LeBron, but they're not worse
exactly.
Than the
but he's getting things out of random players, and this is where the greatness comes from: is you're getting things out of you know, average guys that are far beyond their normal abilities, you know. And so, if there's ever been a case for winning the MVP on the losing team, this is it. But I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't. No.
But should it happen?
No. I think you have to win the title to get the finals MVP. Like, I think that has to be a requirement.
Wasn't there one? It was Jerry West.
Jerry West did before, but... Yeah. But that was when there were, like, eight teams in the league.
And
like,
three media members?
Yeah, and, like, nobody went to the games. I mean, it's just not...
Now, is it media comparable, or is it fans? It's not fans. Media, or is it, like, somebody else? That gets the MVP vote.
Who votes on it?
I think it's media.
I think it is. Yeah.
I think it should be LeBron James. He's the only reason his team even has half a chance, and he's killing it.
He's been very good, but I just think he's to win the finals.
Well, he's been better than Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So he should be the MVP. He is therefore the most valuable.
He was better than Steph Curry during the season. I mean, he's the best player in the world, too. It doesn't mean that you should get the MVP. I mean, the most valuable player should be on the winning team.
Yeah, it's what's funny about that, though, when you rephrase it as most valuable player, if you take Steph Curry off the Warriors, probably still a playoff team. They're not who they are. They're not in the finals.
Yeah. Right.
You pull LeBron James off of the Cavs, I think in the East they're still a playoff team, probably, if they're healthy.
If it's this team,
yeah,
they win 15 games.
You know, and so you could, just saying for argument's sake, like that could be something that you could think about part of that.
I don't know. Just to see the way the media's been talking about him, like his last game, I forget who it was who was talking about like the last things, and it was either a LeBron assist or a LeBron made basket.
Yeah, it was up 29 straight possessions going on. Yeah.
And I mean, that's crazy.
He's killing it.
And that's the media who's in love with the way he's playing right now. So I think it could happen.
It could happen.
If it's going to happen ever, I think this is when it happens.
Yeah.
So I don't want to step on that point or move out of that point if you've got another thing to say, but LeBron in an interview, I think it was – it was at media, you know, openings yesterday, just said, well, I'm the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Like, as part of just a random question.
I'm not nervous. Yeah.
Is there part of you Were you bothered by that?
No, I like it.
Do no. you? If he wasn't the best player in the world, then I would be bothered
by
it.
Yeah, if it was Lance Stevenson.
Derrick Rose used to say stuff like that, too, when he was younger. His MVP year and the year after and stuff, they'd be like, who's the best player? And he'd say Derrick Rose with a straight face. And it's just like, okay, I get what you're saying. You're trying to self-promote or pump yourself up or let yourself believe that you're the best player in the world so you can play that well. But LeBron is like, it's obvious. He's the best player in the world.
Now, is there, like, for me, it's just the question of balancing confidence versus ego, you know, or confidence versus, you know, being
cocky
or a jackass. And LeBron has always walked that line to me. And it's that Ryan Russillo video that we watched. He put through the Keith Olbermann show. He just does enough things to annoy me still. Like, yeah. It still drives me crazy. Such an actor and pulls his penis out on national television.
I've been telling many people that as much as I can.
But it's crazy. Like, there is that line that he walks so tightly. And just having Kevin Durant versus LeBron has always been that juxtaposition, you know, like between the two of them. And obviously, I'm going to prefer Kevin just as a person,
right. You
know, at least outwardly what we experience. But anyway, but I think he's been great as far as this series. I mean, you can't ask for anything more out of him.
Yeah,
really, you cannot ask for more out of him.
Let me give you a stat that Hardwood Paroxysm threw out today. LeBron James points plus assists, 227. Rest of Cavaliers points plus assists, 318. So he's contributing to more than two-thirds of his team's production, basically, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous.
He has to. And I get it, but I'm just saying, like, he has to do that and he can do that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's at the point where he can do whatever he wants.
He's the greatest. What's the next question?
Okay, our next.
All right, LeBron's great. Let's go.
Our next question comes from @CodyKaiser, who wants to know, could the Warriors backups beat the 76ers, Knicks, or the Lakers?
So, Taylor, you're the Warriors guy.
Yeah.
Give me your starting five of backups for the Warriors.
Sean Livingston, Leandro Barbosa, Andre Iguodala.
Spates,
and Azeli.
Or David Lee.
Yes, they could.
Yes.
They could
beat absolutely, yes. They could.
They would beat the Sixers, no question.
Yeah. They would beat the Knicks, Melo, no Melo.
I mean, if the Knicks have Melo, like, they would have a chance,
right?
Like, sure. Melo Anthony would be the best player on the floor, and then the Lakers. I mean, if the Lakers have Julius Randle and
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
Carlos Boobers,
Boobies,
I miss a Carl Brust.
I think that they could. They would put up a fight, but they're good. They're a very deep squad.
And this is just speaking to how deep the Warriors are.
They're very good.
Yeah. Which is why this is their window, right? Like, they and that's what you realize. I can't remember. I think it was Royce Young actually was on the local sports station here, the Sports Animal, and he was talking about the window. You never know, right? This roster could evolve next year, and the better guys get on the peripheral, the more likely they're going to pull, you know, what's the guy? It's not James Posey. Who is the guy that played for Boston and got like three straight contracts with different teams that kept giving him like $12 million? Tall, lanky defender. Anyway, I'll figure that out and come back in like 20 minutes. But it's one of those things where people start going after peripheral players that have championship experiences.
Yeah.
And so it's.
I mean, James Posey was
had the headband.
Guys.
Is that James Posey? Okay,
yeah.
So it was James Posey, right? Like, he got two different teams continued to pay his contract for $10 or so million.
Well, he won a championship with Miami, and then won one with the Celtics. Like, then the Hornets are like, we got to pay this guy.
Yeah. So they'll have some decisions to make. And the David Lee contract, I think, sits above or kind of around the Warriors. And so anyway, talking about their backups, like. The Warriors have had great production off of their bench. Iguodala has been humongous. David Lee is – and that's a cool vindicating moment for him probably. He's getting great minutes that matter in the finals. Probably puts to rest a lot of that stuff that he probably is feeling throughout the season.
And David Lee would play 40 minutes on any other team probably. I mean, if he's healthy, he's going to start and he's going to play the majority of the game too.
I think he plays for a crappy team. I don't think – like, he has obvious flaws. Right, like defensively,
or just a team that doesn't have depth there.
Yeah.
But I mean, he doesn't have to be.
He's not going to play 40 minutes for the Thunder.
He has obvious flaws, but like, who's a worse defender, Kevin Love or David Lee. I mean, they're pretty much on the same level. You can play those players.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah, because he can pass and he can score.
Offensively, he's incredible.
If you develop a three-point shot like Kevin Love.
Yeah.
But apparently he prides himself in like being a guy who scores in the paint and will shoot threes.
Yeah.
I like that. He knows who he is and doesn't try to be anything.
And he's good at it. He's always been good at it.
I just think he has the touch to be able to shoot threes. Next question.
All right, guys. Our next Twitter question comes from Matt Kendrick, who wants to know, what would the narrative be if Russ was putting up stats like LeBron and losing? Seems like the media is ignoring field goal attempts by LeBron James.
I think the big question for me in the midst of this is what has to be done, right? LeBron, there's no other choice. He's got to shoot the ball, and he's got to do what he's doing. Now, if Russell's out there and the squad is the normal Thunder team and he's doing this, he's going to get destroyed. And he probably should, because he shouldn't shoot 40 times a game if he has Ennis and he has Kevin.
What if you just put Russ on this Cavs team?
He'd be doing the exact same thing, and nobody would say anything.
But I just think that Russ just does it differently than LeBron does it. Like LeBron, he's just so different. He just commands a different kind of respect on the court, and he takes better shots, and he is a better passer. I mean, like, he just does it differently.
He's better.
He would just do it. I don't know. I think Russell just wouldn't be able to do what LeBron is doing. And I think they'd be getting blown out by the Warriors, in my opinion.
I think there were times this season, though, where Russ, in a smaller way, was having to do as much, carry as much burden on that Thunder squad.
And they were losing to... They lost to a lot of teams they shouldn't have lost to.
You're right. I mean,
I just don't think that that's... I mean, I don't know. I just don't know how you can criticize LeBron for his field goal attempts whenever, like, Matthew Dellavedova and Timofey Mozgov and J.R. Smith are his best guys.
Yeah. You're just... Go ahead.
I just don't know how you can really criticize him for that. I think that he needs to shoot as much as he can.
Sure. I agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all.
But I mean, Russ is always going to have an uphill battle with the media. He just always will. And if he takes a lot of shots, people are going to talk about it.
They're just looking. The field goal attempt criticism is just, I mean, you're really just looking at a number after a game. Like, I wonder if you're even thinking about that until
never
you see the stats after a game.
Never thinking that LeBron, like, God, LeBron's being terrible.
Yeah, like, efficient. Oh, no, he's shooting way too much. No, no one's thinking that if you're watching the game. You're just looking at a number and you know, oh, if a player takes 38 shots, that's probably bad.
And makes,
you know, and that's wrong.
You know,
yeah.
But then there were times during the season that you're like, wow, Russell is probably shooting too much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and you don't get that sense with LeBron.
No,
I haven't at least. Maybe.
No, I haven't either.
You know who I felt like in the series sometimes shoots too much? Anybody got a guess? Steph Curry. Sometimes it's like if he's not hitting, and I understand how a shooter functions, like you've got to shoot yourself back into it. There's times where he shoots some ridiculous shots, and if he's not hitting it, they really look bad.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, oh, you're down, and you're doing three dribbles and a fadeaway three-pointer from the corner. Granted, 90% of the time, and that's not a made up number. Like, literally during the playoffs, he was making that for 90% of the time. But there were times in this first, especially the first three games, I was like, Steph, pass the ball. But obviously, it paid off for him not to.
Works a little bit.
Yeah, it worked a little bit.
But I mean, I love Russell Westbrook. I just think comparing their games is just kind of, it's just difficult.
And, you know, I will say, too, Russ kind of did get a pass a little bit this season from the media. Like, I heard a lot of people saying, like, well, you know, he's having to do this. Russ has to carry this team.
Sure.
Who else is going to take these shots?
Yeah.
And they did kind of lay off him a little bit, so I will say that. But,
but
if KD was there, it'd be a different story.
But, Russ, there was a facilitating aspect of Russ, too, though, that we don't need to – we can't just forget that. I mean, he did have a streak of triple-doubles going on in the
game. Oh, there's no question.
So it wasn't like he was just running down court and shooting shots and running back and not playing defense. Like, he was trying – I mean, he's the mini LeBron. He's not as good as LeBron. I'm not saying that. But they're very similar in their abilities. But LeBron, as a 6'9", 290-pound or 250-pound –
500-pound man.
Small forward
being
the better passer is insanity. But
all right, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Caleb_Jones_, who wants to know, who would you take? Assuming Oklahoma City re-signs Enos, a healthy Thunder team, or a healthy Warriors team, or a healthy Cavs team?
This is so hard because there's just a lot of unanswered questions with the healthy Thunder team.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of unknowns. It's like, we don't know what the rotation looks like. We don't really know much about this team besides, like, the roster construction. And it's really not going to change a whole lot during the summer. I think they'll add a rookie and they may bring in another different fringe player, but this is pretty much the squad. So I think they match up well with the Warriors and they can put them in positions to where they're going to have to do things that they don't want to do. Like, the Thunder have bigs. Like, you think that Timofey Mozgov and Tristan Thompson put them in a bad spot. You know, the Thunder bigs are just a lot more talented than those guys. So I think that can put them in a bad spot. And then Durant, what do you do with a healthy Durant and a healthy Russell Westbrook? Like, it puts them in a bad spot. But the Warriors, I mean, it's hard to pick against them right today because we know what they are. We know what they can do.
Yeah.
And there's just no lead that's safe with that team. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're up 12 with a minute and a half left, and all of a sudden, like, it's a three-point game.
You need to be scared the whole time.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I would say today I would pick the Warriors, but I also don't really know a lot about what this team is going to do.
Right.
And, like, what the rotation looks like.
Yeah. I would say today, the Warriors, just because it's a team who knows how to play together, and today, even if the Thunder were completely healthy, it's a bunch of guys who haven't played together. And so we need, you know, next year, if we're all healthy, it's going to be different because you have a season of playing together and learning.
And hopefully a coach that can adapt, as part of that.
Well, and also just a coach that can get this team to play cohesively, I mean, you look at every single championship team, and it was a cohesive unit that passed, that shared the ball, and they won. And the Thunder have not really shown to be a team to do that. It's always been, you have these incredible pieces, and then you have role players around them that are athletes, and you just try to out-athlete and out-talent people. And that just doesn't... That has just never worked.
Sure. So, Caleb, you're asking a question that runs through my mind every time I see these two teams play, because the way they've played in this series, I feel like this was, if Oklahoma City was in this finals, they would have won it. A healthy Oklahoma City team, even if, so take
the way Ennis, who has played,
either one of these teams, Cleveland, because if Kyrie's out,
yeah,
the Thunder would expose, I think the Thunder, let me try to work this thought. So the Thunder would have exposed Cleveland's inability to do a lot of things. Timofey's not going to score very much on the Thunder. Neither Tristan Thompson isn't going to get a billion offensive rebounds on the Thunder. Like, it's just not happening.
Matthew Dellavedova is not a factor against Russell Westbrook.
Non-factor. I can't imagine watching Dellavedova try to guard Russell Westbrook.
See, Curry's stature, I mean, you can bully him a little bit. Curry's strong still, but
and he's gotten so much better defensively. It's crazy.
Yeah, but Russell Westbrook would have killed
him. Just blow-bys more than anything.
Yeah.
And so then you're left with LeBron and Durant, and I'll just say that those two probably pretty much just wash themselves almost completely out, because
if Durant,
they're both going to score. They're both going to, you know, like, so that's just going to be who it is.
If Durant can be who he was.
Sure, sure. And so then
you that we have to say that now.
You have to.
You're to the point where, for me, that I think – this Cleveland team without Kyrie, and I'm just saying, like, watching, you know, obviously you can't play that, but even with Kyrie, I think the Thunder would have had a great shot. And Kevin Love, the Kevin Love thing, and I know, and maybe I'm on my own on this, but he doesn't make sense with his roster. I think Tristan Thompson's a better fit with LeBron than Kevin Love, but maybe I'm just overthinking how this series has played out or how Kevin Love has been. And then Golden State, I think that the Thunder, you're right, like, they give Oklahoma City would give them fits. They cannot guard Kevin Durant, and really they can't. Klay Thompson does a decent job on Russ, but we can beat them up on the inside. I think if we can, you know, I think that we can shoot with them sometimes because Kevin is so efficient and so good from the three-point line. But really, for me, the Warriors in this series, I looked at the way they played in the first three games. I mean, the Thunder and the Cavs could have been. The Thunder, I thought, would have been up 3-0 if they were healthy on that team because they came out like deer in headlights for the first three games. And Cleveland let them get away with it in the first game. They missed that jump shot. It would have been a 3-0 series and been – I don't know if the Warriors could have won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's hard for me not to sit and watch this game and think about an opportunity lost for the Thunder. But who knows, man? I mean, the Warriors, if the perimeter defense continued to not be as good as it could have been, they would have torched us. But I watched them play each other, and I think it was January. They played the only game that they played where they had the full roster for the entire game, and the Thunder beat them by almost double digits, you know. But I don't know. It's a great question, and hope to God we get to see it next year.
I just hope that the Thunder can be healthy. I mean, that's what matters. That's it.
That's all it is.
All right, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Walrus Muse, who wants to know, there's lots of trade and draft and free agency left to go, but who from the playoff teams right now poses the biggest threat to Oklahoma City next season?
We kind of alluded to this, but it has to be the Warriors
first. Yeah, it has to be Warriors first.
I don't think that you can count the Spurs out. I think that they're going to reload somehow.
That's it for me.
Yeah.
Clippers don't bother me. The Rockets, it depends. Rockets
certainly don't bother me now.
The Rockets have made random fringe moves that have been really beneficial for their team, and they shouldn't have been. Like, it still doesn't make sense to me. And Daryl Morey does a great job of putting some pieces on that team.
What if the Rockets get LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, like something like that could very well happen.
Tip the scale, yeah.
So they're going to try whatever they can do to make a big splashy move like that.
Sure. And that's what makes you a little nervous, right, in the West. Is a team like that.
I mean, the West is just so difficult. I mean, you just look at the Spurs. They won the championship, then they're out in the first round. I mean, that could happen to the Warriors next year. The Warriors could be matched up with a team next year, and they could have, you know, an injury that.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know. I mean, you could win the championship out in the first round. I mean, that's not inconceivable. So,
but surely it's the Warriors would be the
Warriors are number one.
But out of the West, I still would take the Thunder up there.
A healthy Thunder team. I think that the only true concern is the Warriors, and then Spurs, and then Rockets, maybe.
Memphis
is getting old, man.
I just don't know what they're going to do.
I know. I don't know either. They'll probably keep Marcus.
They'll probably run it back and
still be really good.
I think the Thunder are better equipped to handle them now because they don't have Kendrick Perkins in the middle that they just have that they can completely ignore. The Thunder are going to have. They just don't have a guy that you can completely ignore anymore.
Well, and I think that the Grizzlies are who they are. Right, like they're always going to give everybody a good series. I think they need an elite wing, an elite two or an elite three. And I would, at this point, I would look at Zach Randolph as, you know, I don't know if he's disposable in the sense who would want him for somebody that can go out there and be a pretty fantastic little perimeter player. Because Conley's great, but they've been their gaps.
He needs a buddy.
Their gaps at the two and three have just been glaring.
They just need shooting.
Yeah.
And Jeff Green's not the answer.
Nope.
And everybody in Boston and Oklahoma City could have told you that.
Yeah, he's not an answer to anything.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question from at Jamie Don Wheat, who wants to know, who actually is the most underrated player on the Thunder?
This comes from a question that somebody asked Dion Waiters. Dion Waiters was doing a Twitter Q&A yesterday.
Oh, my God. How did I miss this?
I don't know, but he said that Jeremy Lamb was the most underrated player on the Thunder.
My son.
Your son.
Wow.
This is a kind of a tough question.
Yeah, which, isn't that weird for him
to
say?
Which affirms everything I think is that in practice, Jeremy Lamb is an all-star.
You are just like
Surely.
You are exactly like Dion.
He just is in there like blowing by people and knocking down threes from half court. And then he gets in a game and he's like, oh, my hands are nubs.
My hands are nubs,
I don't know
everyone.
How to play defense.
My hands are nubs.
This is a tough question. I think at this point, Enes Kanter is underrated. I think that, I mean, people rip him to shreds.
Yeah.
Like, Matt, when I had Matt Moore on the podcast, I was like, yeah, Enes Kanter's probably the fourth best player on the team. He was like, no, he's not. I was like, really? Like he is. I don't get that.
He's so good offensively.
Offensively, he is incredible.
Great rebounder.
Very good offensive rebounder.
Glaringly bad on defense.
He is.
But in the same sense, my underrated player is probably Andre Roberson. I don't think people appreciate how great his
defensive abilities.
People tend to, if a player is completely one-sided, they just kind of dismiss them.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can dismiss Roberson's skill as a defender. This is one reason why I think that Roberson is a good, very good candidate to start if you're going to start Enes Kanter. Because if you start Roberson and Ibaka around Kanter with a good defender and Kevin Durant, I think that you can mask his deficiencies pretty easily.
I agree with that. I mean, it wasn't as bad when Serge was healthy.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't as bad. And
Enes is not a bad positional defender. If he can guard a guy who's just, and this doesn't really exist a whole lot anymore, but just a guy who's back to the basket, he's not terrible because he's pretty strong.
And the hope is that he's been working with Mark Bryant, or will be working on Mark Bryant for a lot this season. So he's never had a consistent coach that's worth anything. He's been in Utah on a franchise.
It seems like he's never been in it emotionally either.
Yeah.
I mean, his attitude is kind of, he's never been happy before.
You read that story that Anthony Slater did on him, and the way that his basketball career has gone has been just crappy up until he got to OKC, basically.
Yeah.
So here's what I don't get. How can a guy's footwork be so awesome on offense but so bad on defense?
It's just what do you learn when you're playing young? Nobody's like, hey, you know what I want to set out to be? The greatest defender ever.
But it feels like he changes legs when he goes to the other side of the court. Because, I mean, he just feels like he's in cement.
He's so smooth on the offensive end, and then it's like, yeah, stuck in some.
I don't get it.
Is it he just has never learned, I don't know, he just can't anticipate someone else's offensive ability or moves or something? That's what it seems like, is he makes wrong decisions.
Was he this
every
bad
time.
In Utah too?
On defense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just don't know
so little about him. There's part of me that wonders, as far as a scheme and fitting into the Thunder, we take away from the fact that he played for the Thunder for, 2 months?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, go in here and guess what? You're going to have to be the guy that carries the brunt of the load outside of Russ.
Yeah.
Because that was the expectation.
And he did. Offensively.
Yeah. But defensively, he was a liability.
The good thing is, too, we have another guy behind him, Steven Adams, who can fill all the holes that he has.
Hopefully, the hope with Donovan is that you get to see an opportunity in a game and you make a change. Right? Enes has to play X amount of minutes. Or if he doesn't, it doesn't, it's like my brain melts down, whatever. Hey, guess what? We got a big guy that's killing us, or we're getting destroyed in the pick and roll. Either switch the Serge at the 5 and put Durant at the 4, or bring Adams in at the 5, and then you can defend it. It makes sense to make adjustments as the game continues on.
There's another underrated guy, is Adams.
Yep, I was going to say him too.
Not to me. Adams, in my opinion, it's like Kevin Durant, Adams, LeBron.
He's very good, and he's still super young. He's going to be a very good player. I think
the most underrated part of him to me is his offense. I think he's way better offensively.
He is way better offensively.
Yeah, he's got that little flippy hook shot that's strangely good. I think that he's going to be very good, and I think one of the toughest decisions the Thunder are going to have moving forward is, how are they going to keep him?
Surely. So here's the question that's fun. You have to sign Enes for an extension this summer.
Yeah.
But if you have to sign him at the detriment of being able to re-sign Steven Adams in 2 years, which is when his rookie year is up, he'll be unrestricted in 2 years. If I'm Presti, I'm trying to negotiate that to where I can either ideally keep both of them. My preference 100% is to keep Adams over Enes.
That's my preference too, but do you just go ahead and make moves now with Enes and then hope that 2 years later when you have way more cap room and maybe more capital in the league, do your owners have more
$1 million or whatever?
I mean, it's still
possible. Yeah, and it depends on your owner too. How much does your owner want to spend? I mean, that's what the cap is, but does your owner even want to go up to that quickly or whatever? You know what I mean? Yeah. It definitely depends on player or team to team, but I don't know. I think you still make the move with Ennis because you have him.
You have to.
And you still have Steven Adams. You don't really – maybe you don't have to approach the Steven Adams thing yet. You don't know what will happen. What if KD leaves?
We don't even know what the team's going to look like then.
If KD leaves, they move Steven Adams to the three. It's game over.
Then it can really flourish.
All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Seth_Odom. Who wants to know, how much input will Donovan have in the draft, considering he has probably seen most of these players firsthand?
I thought this was an interesting question because we talked a little bit with Amin about what the draft looks like.
Yeah.
I would love to, and the Thunder would never allow this, but to do a documentary on the Thunder draft process, comes out like a month later.
Just show me your draft board. Just show me a whiteboard.
Because I guarantee it doesn't look like anybody else's.
It'd be really cool.
But I don't know. I don't know how much of that role that Presti allows other guys to have or let Donovan have or let Brooks have or anything. I think that he will have an input on seeing the guys firsthand, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Luke.
I'll go ahead. I think this is a great question.
I think that
because this is the first time that we've ever had it. Like he was playing against all of these guys who are coming in, so he knows like
most
who
of them
giving him like trouble.
Well, that's what I thought. Booker. Like when we kept talking about Booker, which it seems like the more I hear is he's going to be well gone by the time we get there. But
he probably will be. And I don't even know how much times. I like Booker.
I don't know either.
I don't know. My dad loves him.
My dad loves
it. My dad says, that Devin Booker kid's really good. We're going to take him, aren't we?
I think, what was I going to say? Oh, Donovan. I think that this is a different relationship than the Scott Brooks relationship.
Yeah.
It's a lot different. And I think that Presti's respect for Donovan, I think that he's going to have a bigger impact on like draft choices and stuff like that. And
even, I mean, like moves? You think moves as far as
I think
who
so.
We're pursuing?
They seem to be very like-minded. They have similar...
They're holding hands in the press conference.
I mean, he loves him. So I think... And, I mean, there was... He admired Brooks, and he always said good things about Brooks. But it's just different. So I think that his impact on the squad is going to be a lot larger than what Brooks was. So I expect him to have... I expect that he's in all of these workouts, that he's talking to these kids, that he is a huge part of the process.
Yeah, I would say one thing too is like we can't – just because a coach has seen these players firsthand, it doesn't mean that they're always the best judge of that player either. Take Doc Rivers, for example. He looks at some players. He'll play against some players and be like, that player's really good. I know something about this player that no one else understands. I need him on my team. Then they get on the team, and they're exactly what everyone else sees because they're outside of this situation,
sure,
right?
They're outside of the game. Outside of their own.
Right. Yeah. And so maybe that can be an issue with the coach,
that
too.
That doesn't seem like a Donovan way to do it, though. Like, he functions so much within numbers and within, you know.
College is just a lot different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Translating the game.
Doc also had watched his son play for his entire life and knew, I have to have him on my team. I know lots about him that no one else knows. All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from Brian Matthews.
It's not a Twitter question.
It's not a Twitter question, but it's still a Twitter question. He wants to know, what past Thunder draft pick were we most excited about when they were picked? He says he wasn't picked by the Thunder, but he's ashamed to say that he was really excited when the Thunder got Cole Aldrich on draft night.
Yeah.
I was excited about that too. Me and Alex were dancing around his living room whenever that trade went down.
My player.
Literally.
My player was Perry Jones at third. I thought that was a steal. Yeah. We got him at 26, I think.
28.
And I was like, oh my God, this guy was killer in college.
Yes.
We got him.
He's versatile.
And now I'm like, just, I don't care if you're on this team or not at all.
Yeah.
Now mine,
that's why you dropped.
None of you knew me maybe when this pick happened or you didn't know my Thunder part of me. I was beyond jacked for James Harden when we signed him. I watched his Draft Express video 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And the way he moved the ball and the way he shot, I mean, it was just everything. I was like, oh, my God, this is the two guard that we need.
Yeah.
You know? And he was really good. Yeah.
He was everything.
But I remember watching him in those yeah. watching him in those videos and thinking of his game and just thinking, nobody plays like this in the NBA anymore. You know, the way he finishes at the rim, the way
great.
He can get to the rim and all those things. And so I, whenever we drafted Hart, I don't care who else was in that draft. I wasn't a Steph guy. I thought he the same knocks that everybody else had. I thought he was too small. And so when they drafted Harden, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest one that I was the most excited about.
I wasn't too happy about that because I was totally on the Ricky Rubio train.
Oh, yeah, were you?
No.
I was. I wanted Rubio so bad.
And now you're on the Porzingis train.
Now I'm on the Zingas train, the Mingus train.
The Chris Mingus train.
Shout out to Chris.
What's up, Chris?
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question.
And final Twitter question.
Final Twitter question comes from at shaky underscore Jake, who wants to know, what will we talk about after the draft? Can we just talk about movies and TV until the season starts? It's happier for him than speculation.
100% agree.
I'm all in on that.
Okay, I agree it's happier, but will I do the things that make me happy all the time? No.
Do what makes you happy. Do what feels good.
I won't.
So there are some things that are going to help with our podcast, and we're going to talk about those a little bit later to where we won't be as frequent as part of the off season.
Like we're going to go through the Foo Fighters discography.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. I won't be there for that.
Yeah, but there is part of it. I'm all about movies, but no, we're not going to do any of that. Sorry.
No, we're
that's
not
what I'd rather
do.
I'd rather talk about movies.
Do what feels good.
The summer, we think like, oh, man, there's such a long break now before the rest of the season. The summer is jam-packed.
Well, you got the draft, and you have summer league and free agency. The really, like the dead part is August,
football season,
August September.
Football
season. Yeah.
August, September is pretty dead.
But then September, you have training camp, and you have all these interviews, and you have all these different things coming up.
Maybe it's just August.
Guys, I'm bummed. I just want to talk about Hannibal.
Hannibal.
The TV show? Anyone watch it?
Nope.
Nope.
It's so good. All right, guys, let's start to talk about some of the trades that have gone down just here in the last week. Lance Stephenson traded to the Clippers.
Woo! I love this trade for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson. It's going to be Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Lance Stephenson,
every time you
Blake
the table,
Griffin,
there's an
and,
echo.
Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Maybe not even DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre's going to be there.
Oh, is he?
What are they? They don't have any room to do anything.
This is the dumbest thing ever.
It's great. It's so incredibly risky.
They're really embracing their unlikability.
Yeah.
They're going to be.
It's more than that.
Talk about it.
He shot 17%. From three last year. He was the worst three-point shooter of anybody who took more than 100 threes in the league.
Yep.
The worst.
The number one.
That's tight.
He is the worst. He was bad for the chemistry. Nobody liked him. I've said before, I went to the game and literally just sat and watched their bench the whole time. Nobody talked to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can even look at the last half of the Pacers, 2013-14 Pacers. Like, everybody hated him. Roy Hibbert was miserable because of Lance Stephenson. Like, he wanted out because of him.
And that was when he was really good.
And that's when he was great. That's whenever they were making playoff runs. Like, they could not wait to get rid of Lance Stephenson in a good situation. What makes you think, like, Chris Paul is a very demanding guy. There was nobody like that for the Pacers. And maybe that's that'll be a good thing for Lance. But if it's not, like, this could be volatile. Like, this could be, like the risk reward here, I can't think of a wider risk reward trade in a long time.
The margin
because,
is.
And also, you're trading Matt Barnes was so important to what the Clippers did last
year.
He hit 36% of his threes. He would guard the best player on the best team. He's really their only three. They don't have a three now. Like, they don't have a small four. What happens whenever they play the Thunder and Kevin Durant? Like, they don't have
anybody
to even...
Unless they're planning on Lance Stephenson to be the guy. He will get torched.
I mean...
Lance Stephenson's what, 6'5"?
He's 6'5". 210. I mean, like, he's...
Now, he guarded LeBron a lot for the Pacers. I mean, I think it's a risk because Doc is betting on... the good Indiana Pacers, Lance Stephenson.
Yeah.
And he's betting on his ability to get Lance to buy in to him and Chris Paul and the rest of the team.
So here's another question. Like, what do you do? What happens when DeAndre's in foul trouble? Or they're fouling him because he can't shoot free throws? Spencer Hawes was awful. And I'm not saying he's the answer.
Yeah, who's their third big?
What are you doing with your third big position?
Baby?
Are you going to hope to God that you can get somebody that's waived halfway through the season? Are you going to try to get Kendrick Perkins this offseason? Like, what are you going to do?
It's amazing because the problem with that team was their depth. And they just traded two players for one.
For one player.
and for a guy that basically couldn't play for Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't fit. They didn't like him. I mean, the highest three-point percentage he's ever had is 35%, which is fine. But, you know, his second year in the league, he shot 13% from three. He didn't have that many attempts. And then last year, he was 17%. I think that he'll be better than what he was last year. I don't think that he's going to be that player again. But this is a massive, massive risk. And I guess really – it's just funny. They're using Lance Stephenson to clean up their financial mess with Spencer Hawes. You get out of the deal, which is fine. But is that really helping your team to get out of that deal? Maybe in the future, but I mean, it just feels like they're just throwing next year out.
Well, and so look at the way the offense works. They're at their best when you have JJ running around and getting open, and then you have Matt Barnes standing in a corner or on the side.
Right, he's running around the perimeter.
Lance is a ball-dominant shooting guard.
Yeah.
Like, he's a ball-dominant player. Well, you have the most facilitating point guard in the game. You have a ball-dominant power forward.
Yeah.
And then you surround them with guys that don't need the ball unless it's passed to them where they need to be. And then you have Lance Stephenson.
And Austin Rivers.
Like, what are you planning for him? Are you planning for him to be your sixth man? Right?
Maybe.
Like, does that make sense?
I mean, do you think Jamal Crawford is
gone? Because if you're putting
gone?
That pressure on him, he can't do it. Makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Yeah,
it
Jamal Crawford and Lance Stephenson on the court at the same time?
Well, I think, yeah. I don't know what will happen.
It's just...
I'm going to get the Clipcast guy's opinion on this, man.
They'll love it. They'll be like, that's a bet.
No.
we don't need to, like, really do it.
I just think that, I mean, you can talk yourself into it. Here's how you talk yourself into it. He's a utility-type player.
Charlotte.
He can dribble. He can pass. He can defend. He can do all these things. Or he has done all these things before. He has hit 35% of his threes before, which is good enough. But then you just throw everything else in there. Like, you throw his personality in there that really, in his NBA career, he's never really been able to work with a team. The moment that he did become good, he became impossible to play with, too.
Yeah.
So,
and Larry Bird was like, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
You can go.
And he's going to bully the crap out of Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers is going to take some emotional beatings
not with
from
his dad
Lance
there.
Stephenson. No, Lance Stephenson does not care about that.
This is, I don't know. It's the highest risk-reward trade ever.
I think it's going to flop.
All right, let's talk about the next trade that went down. Ersan Ilyasova to Detroit.
I like it. They traded Caron Butler and Sean Williams, who are two non-guaranteed deals for Ilyasova. I think the trade is great for both teams. The Bucks get out of this money, and they're going to have some cap space this summer, which could be really important. I mean, they could go sign a guy like Tyson Chandler. They could go pay him a little bit more than what Dallas is.
Because Greg Monroe's leaving.
Monroe's gone.
Would you go get Tyson?
No, but I was just talking.
Oh, you're sorry, the Bucks. Sorry.
I'm talking about the Bucks. I would for this team. They don't have a center because there's Quinn basketball.
I'm 100% with you on that. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be a great get for them.
I mean, he's a veteran leader. They don't really have any guys that can lead.
Played with Jason Kidd,
which is a big deal. Yep.
Tyson Chandler's a great fit for them.
They could sneak up and do damage in the East.
They could. They made the playoffs this year. And it's in the East. But they made the playoffs. And that young core.
You add Jabari at the four.
Yeah.
Greek Freak.
Yeah, you do them at three and four. Middleton. It doesn't matter what position they are. Really.
No.
No, Middleton, gone. Someone's giving him some money this summer.
The Bucks are giving him money this summer.
Okay.
He's a restricted free agent.
Well, someone's going to match it, and they're going to take it. Listen, this ruins my plans for later on, okay? This ruins my franchise plans, but go on.
I'm going to squash him because he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. They'll pay him whatever. I think that they're going to pay him right out the gate, but I think if he does go get an offer sheet, I think they'll match it, no matter what it is, because this summer's going to be crazy.
All right, guys, let's move on to fix.
Hold on. We didn't say Ilyasova, I think, was a really good fit for the Pistons, too. Because yes. He's a good three-point shooter. He can rebound. Perfect next to Andre Drummond.
Yep.
Andre Drummond was a beast next to Anthony Tolliver.
I'm excited for the Pistons.
And he's like twice the player that Anthony Tolliver is.
And we're seeing SVG. Stan Van wants to go back to how Stan Van used to run things in the Magic.
This is a Stan Van team. Yeah. I mean, they're getting shooting on the perimeter. And they're surrounding Andre Drummond. As much as Reggie Jackson irks me, I think he's going to be good. I think he's really good next year.
Yeah, Stan Van's doing a good job of making this team a cohesive unit.
Yeah. Hey, and if I can just say that... I'm pretty sure the entire time I was thinking about Ilyasova, I was actually just picturing Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah,
very different players.
Very different.
Very different, but both weird.
Both looking. Very stinky, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, very racist.
All right, let's move on to Fix a Franchise. Each of you has picked a different franchise, and you've figured out how to fix it. Taylor, let's start with you.
I wouldn't say figured out how to fix it.
Well, you speak for yourself.
Hold on. I want Andrew to start because, Andrew, who did you pick initially?
Well, let me tell you where this idea came from. Ryan Russillo used to be the podcast host of the NBA Today, and he used to do this on his podcast. What is it called? Lockdown Podcast or something like that now?
Yeah.
And it's been really bad.
It's Bruce Bowen, right?
It's not anymore.
It's Israel Gutierrez or something.
I mean, Hassan's on it a lot, which makes it listenable for me. But Russillo used to do it, and he was awesome.
Yeah,
and he did this. So I was like, let's do this. So my initial pick was the Kings, and I just beat my head against my computer for like 2 hours trying to figure out how to fix the Kings. And then I just stopped, and I decided to go with the Pelicans. So I brought in Eric Gordon. I said, Eric, you're an expiring contract this year. I'm sorry, you've been traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Kevin Martin and Chase Buttinger.
Oh, gosh.
We're bringing shooting. This gets Minnesota out of the Kevin Martin deal and gives them an expiring contract in which they may be able to even buy Eric Gordon out and let him go play somewhere else. So it could save them money, and it could save some money in the future for sure. And then you just have more spots to play your young guys. So then you bring shooting into the Pelicans. Like, the Pelicans are in a spot where they really need shooting. Like, they didn't really have any good shooters on the perimeter at all.
Luke Babbitt, thank you very much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you bring in those two guys. And then I brought in Tyreek Evans and said, hey, Tyreek.
Ooh, wow.
Listen, we really liked your contributions last year, but you've been dealt to the Denver Nuggets. For Danilo Gallinari.
Oh, wow.
Another shooter who can play 3 and 4. I just think that you surround Anthony Davis with shooters.
Yes.
With Alvin Gentry, you hope that Drew Holiday is healthy and can facilitate. And you just kill teams by you run and gun and you shoot threes.
No center.
I think you play Davis at the center, and I do think that you bring back Omarosic.
Yeah, so you're trying to bring back. He's going to be expensive, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but with the cap going up 20% next year, you just pay it. So I think that you can play big with him, or you can play, you know, the Holiday. Let's see who it would be. Holiday,
Ryan Anderson.
Holiday, Kevin Martin, Gallinari, Ryan Anderson.
Oh, Lord.
Anthony Davis. Like, you just... You have your facilitator.
I mean, you can't play defense at all.
Your defense isn't great.
But you're hoping to beat teams 140.
But the thing is that, like, Davis can be a transcendent defender.
Sure.
And can change a lot of that. Gallinari's not an awful defender. Gallinmommies is not awful. Kevin Martin is awful. Like, he is bad, bad, bad.
Drew Holiday's not bad, right?
Drew Holiday's a good defender. So yeah. If you have... I don't know. You're not going to be an elite defensive team, but you've
got two or three of the five positions that are pretty good defensively. And if you need to get out there and be more defensive, you know, Omer is a pretty good little five, and you could move, you know, if you needed to.
But you just run. You shoot the lights out.
Especially with Alvin Gentry. Did you see him dunk the basketball yesterday?
I did. That's awesome.
He jumped off the wall.
So that's how I fixed the Pelicans. Because before, they just had all these their wings didn't make – like, you have Eric Gordon and Tyreke Evans who just they just don't make a ton of sense. Neither of them shoot that well. I just think that you surround him with shooting. Gallinari is a guy who can create some
– And he needs out of Denver.
Get him out of Denver. Get him in a fast-paced system. Put him with Anthony Davis. Give him some space.
He'd be great next to Anthony Davis.
He would be.
Gallinari would be great next to – he's a big dude, too. Gallinari
can play four.
Gallinari can play four. Stretch you can four play sure. small with him at
I mean,
the
he's going to get torched by a team that actually has a – like Zach Randolph and Danilo Gallinari. They're like,
yeah, but that's when you play big. That's when you play Osick and Davis.
So. Taylor, you want to go next? You want me to?
Yep, I have the Miami Heat. So Dwayne Wade's probably going to leave.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No.
For the sake of this, this is assuming Dwayne Wade leaves.
Well, you can let him go.
Yeah, you do what you want to do, man.
D-Wade, we're not paying you. You're gone. Dragic, he's going to opt in. Luol Deng will probably opt
in. I forgot.
Dragic?
I forgot.
He's going to opt in because then he'll be a free agent next summer, get some money.
You promised him in 2016 that you'll give him whatever he wants.
Oh, man.
Someone else will. I mean, even for his personal, benefit, you opt in, you take this contract, finish it out, whatever. I like the table. If there's a table, I'm going to hit it.
God, you would
so judge. Anyway, Dragic is in. Wow. Luol Deng's probably going to opt in because.
Wow. Okay. Keep going.
No, listen.
Taylor gets so mad.
Why would he opt out?
He's so offended.
Why would anyone opt out this summer?
Because this summer people are getting overpaid.
But next summer people will really get overpaid.
I don't know that they will, dude.
Why? There's more money.
There'll be more money, but I just think
who's signing broke a Luol Deng?
Yeah.
This summer, well, who's signing him this summer?
I just think there's a lot of risk with
you
those.
If I'm Luol Deng, you get five years at $10 million or $12 million. Yeah.
Luol Deng's getting $10 million this year. He was pretty bad last year. I'm opting in. I'm taking money.
Hey, this is
$10 million.
This is
your
team.
Yeah, exactly.
You do what you
want to
do.
You guys keep telling me what players will do. I'm telling you what the players are going to do.
Go ahead.
Luol Deng, he's going to opt in. But then Atlanta does a sign-and-trade with Damari Carroll. And they trade Damari Carroll and someone Kent Bazemore for Josh McRoberts and Luol Deng. So now...
So did you drug Atlanta to do this, or is this something that...
No, because they need depth. And
and trading two players for two players will give them depth.
Well, because you get Josh McRoberts and...
Go on, Taylor. We are
this some bull
I'm
crap.
Taking Damari Carroll over Luol Deng.
You get two broke players. And plus, they can't sign and trade him because they don't have his full bird rights.
Taylor, I'm sorry.
They can only sign him...
Taylor just turned...
This game.
Sorry, dude.
So I picked. Are we done?
Kevin Martin's a piece.
Right, Jay. So I. Thankful for me, I took the Knicks. And also terrible for me because here's the reason it's thankful is I don't have to work through all the things that Taylor had to work through, like, oh, cap rights and bird rights, because literally they have eight players on their roster for next year, and only two of them are worth anything. Carmelo Anthony, obviously still kind of their centerpiece. Jose Calderon is under contract for 2 years. And then you have Alexi Shved, you have Tim Hardaway Jr., Quincy Acey, Klee Anthony Early, Travis Ware, and Langston Galloway. And so all disposable pieces, and almost all of them are making $1 million or less.
Yeah.
Their salaries for next year that are guaranteed are $32.42 million. And the cap itself is 67 with the tax at 76. And so you have roughly $40 million worth of contracts that you can spend next year.
Yeah.
Which... Everybody needs to get off New York's back because this is what they were trying to do.
They're supposed to do this.
Exactly what they're trying to do. And so the first hope is that you hit a home run with your draft pick. Draft Express, I just went off of theirs. If the drafts go as they're supposed to, which is it's Towns, Okafor, and Mingus, one of those are the top three. Yeah. that's his name from now on.
I love that.
That means that D'Angelo Russell falls to you at the four, and
Ooh.
I'm – out of my mind jacked about that. Yeah, he's your hybrid 1-2. He can play alongside Jose for a year. I'm going to try to move Jose at some point, but you can't move him yet. He can shoot. He can distribute. He can slash. I think he's a great complement to Carmelo Anthony. So I'm jumping for joy in my war room, the fact that we got D'Angelo Russell.
That'd be a slam dunk.
But the big thing for the Knicks is this. Your city and your fan base will not allow you to build in the way you should, because the way I would build if I was a team that's in Milwaukee is I'm destroying this team and resurrecting them. So I'm trading Melo for as many picks as I can get. I'm trading anything to get as many picks. Kind of the Boston way.
Yeah.
The Knicks can't do that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pursue every free agent out there to come and play that fills the positions we need. We have a 3 in Melo who can play a 4 in some small ball lineups. The anchor is what we need. I'm going to look for Mark Gasol. I'm going to offer Mark Gasol the max, because I'm going to hope that he wants the big city draw that his brother wanted when he went to Chicago. And so I'm throwing everything at Mark Gasol to get him to come and be a part of my Knicks team. If Mark says no, I'm going after DeAndre Jordan. In the midst of all of this, there's a bunch of other players that I'm going to look for. If I can get Marc Gasol, I'm also going to sign Paul Millsap, and I'm also going to go after Danny Green, and I'm going to go after a guy like Marco Bellinelli. And then you also have guys like Lou Williams that are a part of my plan as well. And so as each one of these pulls off of my free agent list, I'm going to go after one of the other ones. Another guy I like that would be a great big off the bench for me that makes sense would be Brandon Wright, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent this year. And the thing is that this cap is just going to get bigger, and I have a franchise that historically doesn't mind spending money and going into the tax even a little bit, but most of the time that's for crappy contracts. And so when we sign Marc Gasol or DeAndre, and if any one of those guys go, I mean, we still have – I'm going to go after LaMarcus Aldridge as well as one of those guys if they don't – if they fall through. LaMarcus would be my guy with Marc Gasol. I think those two would be tremendous together.
Yeah, they would be.
You're right about that.
I'm maxing out everybody, because the thing about the Knicks is you don't worry about the financial
reverse. Are you spending $200 million?
I have $40 million in salaries a year, so I can max out two of these guys, right? Like, I can get close to maxing out two of these guys.
You can get two max guys and then
to play along. And then you just pray to God that people want to come and play in New York for a team that's going to be incredible. And that's the draw. You have two draws for this franchise. Number one is the fact that I, Phil Jackson, have a plan. Number one. Number two, you're in New York. You're in the most historic building for one of the most historic franchises in the league. And so our hope is to really sell that, wine and dine them. We've struck out a lot in the past, but it's a different era for the New York Knicks.
Yay, they're fixed.
But come on, think about D'Angelo Russell. Even if you just could get one of those guys, D'Angelo Russell, Marc Gasol, Carmelo Anthony, and then just fill out a bunch of side guys, you're going to immediately be a playoff
team. Who is a realistic free agent for them, though?
What's hard is it depends. Like, Paul Millsap?
What? Atlanta has, like, no one next year. They're at like $40 million. They'll give Paul Millsap. But,
you know, I think a Robin.
Yeah, I think if you maxed out Paul Millsap, like gave him his absolute max, I think you could scare the Hawks.
But I think they would do it.
I don't know that he's worth – I don't think he's not worth the full max. That's why I think that you can scare them away.
You know, people think that LaMarcus Aldridge is there was a lot of conversation towards the end of the Portland season that he's really contemplating leaving Portland. There's not a bigger draw in New York. There's not a bigger draw than New York. Yeah. Like, you can go and play along. Like, Melo is that's one of the, in my mind, I've always said this, but Melo is one of my favorite non-Thunder guys. And I think he's been destroyed by a lot of people in the media unfairly.
He's probably the most underrated player in the league today.
And when he's at his best, when he's healthy, he's a really good player. And so there is a draw to playing with a guy like that. And if you could go and score a guy like D'Angelo Russell as your point guards, or even if he's a shooting guard, and then just find in some other guys to come in and play point
guard. I think
guard.
Just the most difficult thing is everyone was miserable in New York last year.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard sell.
It is a hard sell, but that's the only way you're going to build this team up, in my opinion, is you've got to get one free agent to buy in.
Kevin Love?
Because they don't have any draft picks worth anything going forward. They traded so many of them to get rid of crappy pieces.
Yeah. This year's their draft pick. What about Brook Lopez?
Brook Lopez is a restricted free agent going into next year, right? But the Nets would do it. You'd have to do something, wouldn't you? He's not unrestricted this season, is he?
I think he is. He's already had his restricted year.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, Brook would be a good fit. That's an easy move for him.
If he opts out.
Yeah, so it's a player option. Yeah, he would be on there. Obviously, Mark Gasol.
Oh, you know who I think they're going to get? Greg Monroe.
Yeah, he was on my list, too.
Huh?
You max him out?
I like Greg Monroe. I don't know how much.
I think he's gone from Detroit. They don't have bird rights anyways. So I think he's a guy that you can lure. I don't even know that you have to pay him the full max.
I was probably going to see if the Miami Heat, led by Taylor Riley, would give me Chris Bosh for Langston Galloway.
Yeah, probably, because we don't know how basketball rules work.
What about Monte?
Man, dude,
he's the guy I could see going to.
So this is when I start thinking about that is that's the most Knicks as they have functioned move ever. Like,
yeah,
they're the Mark Cuban of the East. Like, just grab the name and bring him in and we'll see what happens, you know? And it just hasn't worked. And so having a deliberate plan, getting guys that fit a system, you know, Mark Gasol. Now, Monte has grown a lot on me in Dallas. I think he's done a lot to improve.
Yeah, I think he's good.
And he'd be great. Then you're going to depend on D'Angelo to be your point guard if that's what you do.
You can do both. You can play both. Monte,
what about Rondo?
I don't know.
Are you burned on Rondo?
I just wouldn't touch him.
Yeah, I don't touch Rondo anymore.
So.
Robin Lopez is a guy that you could probably overpay too.
I used to touch him. What?
Robin Lopez is probably a guy you could overpay.
Yeah,
too.
He was on my list. Robin Lopez. As well. Robin Lopez. I love that guy.
He's good.
He's a great serviceable five. He doesn't need the ball. He just does what he needs to do when it's time. So.
Yeah. Or what about Timofey?
Cleveland's not letting him go.
Bring him back.
Timofey has some bad memories in New York. Man.
Cleveland's not letting him go. He's a big piece of who they are.
All right, guys, let's move on to the Say What stat of the week.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
What? I can't read lips, Jay. Say what? Stat of the week.
Taylor?
Mine is I saw Jurassic World last night. And it was so good.
Was it good? Really?
It was everything I wanted it to be.
Wow. I want to see it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my gosh. It was. I told Julia afterwards. I said, that was the most enjoyable part of my last month.
Really?
That movie was. I had so much. I just got so much joy from watching that movie.
I really want to see it. I need to catch up on some movies.
Oh, my gosh. Jurassic World is so... It is everything you want it to be.
Really? Is it really?
It's everything you want it to be.
Good. I mean, he's not kidding.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, but it's
exactly what it's supposed to be. Ridiculous. And there's some really cheesy parts that I laughed out loud at. But that's what you want. Dude, it's just an entertaining movie.
I love some...
I wish I could talk about it more.
Chris Pratt.
I don't care. Talk
Chris Pratt was like buff in this movie.
Well, he's buff.
He is not Andy anymore.
No.
From Parks and Rec.
He's not Fat Pratt, man.
No, he's not.
He's Chris
not
Brown?
Chris yeah, Brown Chris looks Brown. Way different.
Here's my say what stat of the week, and this is also, it's kind of made me a little bit peeved. Chris Brown had a concert last week in Oklahoma City.
Chris Brown?
Chris yeah. Brown. Chris Brown, Rihanna beater, Chris Brown, musical yeah. artist. And people I know went. And like liked it.
Yep.
And that blows my mind that there's still people left who like Chris Brown.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the last Chris Brown song I've heard that was popular.
I can't
now,
either.
Did he play a real show or was it like at the Windstar?
No, he does like arenas.
I think he did arena. I think he did Chesapeake.
Oh gosh, that's embarrassing.
I like him.
You like him?
No, you don't. You don't know who we're talking about.
I've met him before.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have. I'm going to show you a picture of me and Chris Brown.
Oh, my
God. So you like him?
Why?
So that means so you would go like to him. His concert.
I don't like him. I just knew
you like people who beat wives?
I was in the photo. I said, hey, act like you're hitting my wife.
Well, it blew my mind. That's my say what's that of the week.
My say what's that of the week is Timofey Mozgov. Game 4, 28 points, 33 minutes, and 29 seconds. Game 5, 0 points.
Love it.
9 minutes and 19 seconds.
0 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, they worked really hard to take him completely out of the game. But the other aspect of that is the fact that they also, David Blatt did a good job of doing that as well because they tried to match him with the small ball. I'm anxious to see what they do tonight. Like, anxious. Like, I just am waiting with bated breath.
I must know.
But I don't know. This is it. I think the Warriors win tonight and finish the series, but we'll see what happens. And Timofey is going to be a big part of that one way or the other. So,
I say what stat? The most open player in the playoffs. for all of the playoffs, Harrison Barnes. They leaving him open.
And he still steps in and takes long twos.
Yep. Harry Barnes.
He was way better last game than he has been all series. At least, maybe he didn't shoot. I don't think he shot very well, but he still is pretty good.
He's still pretty good.
All right, guys. Pretty good. Who's miffed and who's peeved?
Miffed.
Miffed.
Miffed. Miffed and peeved.
I got a great miffed and peeved. So the other day I was driving right here in Oklahoma City here at Western and Britain, and there's a train track that crosses diagonally through the intersection. Mm-hmm. And
there is.
I was on Western going north, and I don't know what I was doing, and I always have a bad habit of doing this. Like I'll stop past the – or not past the crosswalk, but a little further than the crosswalk. But I didn't feel like I was that far out, and I wasn't really paying attention. I was on my phone because there was a stoplight because the train was coming. Like I saw the bell started ringing and the red lights started going off. And I'm not paying attention, and all of a sudden I hear this just big old thud on the top of my car. I'm like – I looked behind me like I just got hit by a car. Nope. Bird. The freaking arms from the train thing just banging the top of my car.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, oh, God. And so I reverse back, and I just like slowly like pulls down my windshield and on the front of my car. And I'm just like,
oh, my God.
Number one, the most embarrassing thing ever.
That is amazing.
Because I didn't think I was that far forward because I wasn't even close to the train track.
I think the arms are pretty like
they're pretty far back far at that intersection. Yeah. And I look over the side and this couple is just staring at me like, what is this idiot doing? And so I thought my car would just be like, great, just destroyed. And then I finally look at it and it's like, hey, not that bad. Only a couple white marks.
Luke, are you miffed?
I'm miffed. My phone, I want a new phone. And my phone has decided to stop giving me notifications whenever I get text messages.
It's time for a new phone.
I have to go in and look at them to see if I've gotten some. And it sucks. I don't like it. And it makes me mad. It's making me a lot more productive at work, but it still makes me mad.
Taylor? That makes me miffed that you're working harder.
That's why I'm missing
and not responding to our typing
less. Yeah, I look down. I'm like, I have 18 text messages. No, missed time. Missed the whole conversation.
I'm not that miffed. Guys, I was for real about this Jurassic Park thing.
It made you
it
so
made
happy.
It made me so happy.
It was. Hey, so, Andrew, do you have a miffed or peeved?
No.
So I have a grateful, what is it called? Grateful and thankful or thankful?
Grateful and blessed.
Grateful and blessed. Listen, all of our Down to Dunk followers, you've been tremendous to us recently. This next 2 months is going to be a little strange for us. We're going to have one podcast between now and probably mid-July.
Why are you saying that?
Because.
Is that true?
Yes. It makes me grateful.
This is news for me too,
thankful
guys.
And pleased or blessed.
I'm pleased.
For I'm pleased. Our good friend and pod leader, Andrew Schlecht, is doing something that's pretty spectacular. He is, number one, he's going to Disney World, and so he'll be gone for like 2 weeks.
That's spectacular.
So the only pod we'll have until mid-July is the post-draft, and here's the reason why. When Andrew gets back after the podcast, he is donating his kindy to his father-in-law. He found out he's a match, and so he's going to be out. And if you didn't know this, Andrew literally does everything for the pod. We show up and talk, and Andrew does the recording. He does the interviews and does all those things.
True.
So number one.
And he hosts it at his house every morning.
Number one.
I do that,
Jay. We're thankful for Andrew. But what a cool thing, helping his father-in-law out with a kidney and then also Disney World. And so we won't be back until July 26th or June 26th, and then we'll be off for a few more weeks. But we're going to miss you while we're gone, and we're excited for the draft on June 25th.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.